Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Ayin Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the beginning of the 11th perek, the new perek, that you find at the lower part of Daf Ayin Tes Omid Aleph. The subject at hand deals with the type of nedarim that a husband is able to mefer, namely the type of vows that a husband is able to mefer to annul had his wife vowed thusly. The elu nedarim shu mefer. The following are the category of nedarim that a husband is allowed or has jurisdiction over, and this halacha, this point is based on the pasuk. And what is this? Dvarim sheyesh bohen inui nefesh. It's those type of vows that whereby the wife imposes a restriction upon herself that would cause, we'll say, cause pain, cause suffering to her. Example: im erchatz v'im lo erchatz. The double expression here in the positive and the negative will be explained by the Gemara and the upcoming dapim. But for the time being, we're dealing with a vow that results in her inability to bathe. Im es kashe, v'im lo es kashe. This term, kishut, has to do with the general realm of cosmetics and self-beautification. The Ran, you can see on the third line, from the beginning of the commentary on the Mishnah, at the fourth line up from the bottom of the page, im es kashe, im lo es kashe, kishut haponim, purification of one's face, kon kochol, pokus, different types of cosmetics, debahu, desvilu, rabbonon, demefer. The Rabbonon, we'll see, Rabbi Yossi later disagrees, but the Rabbonon hold that a husband can annul these kind of vows, mishum indre, on the grounds of there being nidre inui nefesh. Avo kishut shel mata is a euphemism. It has to do with a woman removing hairs from the lower part of her body, from the areas of intimacy. Afilu rabbona modula rabbiosi de'ene nidre inui nefesh. These do not constitute that type of vow. If she vows, let us say, not to remove the hairs that we just mentioned, that would not be a source of suffering for her by her non-removal of it. Eludvarm shebeino leveino. That falls into a different category, the realm of matters that are between husband and wife. We continue back in the Mishnah. We're now at the top of Omid Beis, Omer Rabbi Yossi, Ein Elu Nidre Inui Nefesh. The bathing restriction or the cosmetics restriction does not, in Rabbi Yossi's opinion, fall into the realm of Inui Nefesh. So Rabbi Yossi continues and says, V'elu hein nidre inui nefesh. The following would be an example or examples of inui nefesh. Omra, if the wife says, koinim peros ha'olam olai. She, konam is an expression which we've seen many, many times already. It's an expression of a vow where she restricts upon herself the fruits of the world. Well, as a result of that vow, she won't be able to eat any fruits. That kind of vow, the husband is allowed or is able to annul. Another kind of vow, let us see what, then we'll see what the result is. If she says, Peros Medina Zu Alai. If she vows that, now here we're going to be using the Ran's explanation. The Ran says that when she vows not to eat the fruits of Medina Zoo, it doesn't mean the Medina, the country in which she is living, but rather she is, let us say, living in country A. And she says that she vows upon herself not to eat the oranges from country B. The husband does not annul a vow like that, because Yovi Lo mi Medina Acheres. The husband simply brings oranges from a different country, from country C. There's an alternative to the annulment whereby she can keep her vow, maintain her vow, and yet it doesn't result in inui nefesh because of this alternative. This is in contrast to a vow where she vowed vowed not to eat any fruits. Another example of a vow, and we'll see then the results. Peros chenvoni ze olai. She vows not to eat the fruits from a specific grocer, a specific market. Eino yochol lahofer. The husband cannot annul that kind of vow. Obviously, why? Because there's an alternative. If she's not eating the fruits of this particular market, there are other markets from which she can derive her fruit benefit. However, v'im lo hoisa parnasosi elo mimenu, if, however, the husband has an arrangement with a specific market, a specific grocer, whereby he gets food on credit, and no other grocers provide him, the husband, with food on credit. And many times a man doesn't have cash. If she swore not to eat the fruits from a particular grocer, and that particular grocer is the only one that extends credit to her husband by her not being able to eat the fruits of that grocer, in effect, she's not going to be able to eat any fruits. So, on a case like that, and that's what this line of the Mishnah means, v'im lo hoisa parnasosa ela mimenu, if the husband's sustenance, maintenance, comes only from that grocer, as we explained, because he's the only one that extends him credit, hare ze yofer, then he can be mefer divrei Rabbi Yossi. This is Rabbi Yossi's teaching. You might ask, why does the Mishnah have to conclude with divrei Rabbi Yossi when it was Rabbi Yossi was the only speaker from the beginning of this Omid? You can see he started speaking, so that's something that the Gemara will have to deal with. The Gemara now continues with a question. Opens with a question. Nidre inui nefesh hu de mefer she'ein bohem inui nefesh einu mefer. Are we to assume from the opening of this Mishnah that only those kind of vows that impose pain on the woman are those that the husband can annul, but other kinds of vows he cannot annul? V'ha Tanya, we have a Tanaic source that features a posuk from the topic of vows and their annulment, and it says Bein ish lishto, Bein ov lebito. We've been referring to husband annulling wife's vows. The truth is that these topics apply also to a father annulling his daughter's vows. We see from this Melamed Shabal Mefer Nidorim Shebeino Leveino. From this pasuk, we learn that a husband annuls vows that affect them as a couple. In other words, vows that she takes, that if she were to abide by them, it would cause some type of lack or discomfort to the husband. So what do we see from here? We see that the husband has jurisdiction over vows beyond those that are purely inui nefesh, those vows that cause simple pain to the woman. So we have to explain our Mishnah. Why does our Mishnah give us the impression that the only vows a husband can annul are the inui nefesh type vows? On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. The Nosei is the topic, Mivneh, a structural note that we combine into one. Diamonds will appear, and if you scan down the page, you'll see diamonds 1 and 2. And they are Tshuvos L'Shei, we're reading from the side of the page, Tshuvos L'Shei La, the answers to the question, Mam Yuchad B'Nidrei Inui Nefesh, what's unique or special about Nidrei Inui Nefesh? Shikotoni, the Mishnah taught, the Elu HaNidorim Shebal Mefer, that these are the vows a husband can annul, the Mashma Shachir Meinu Mefer. This gives us the impression that other kinds of vows the husband cannot annul. Kishiyadua Shebal Yochol Hofer Gam the Dorim Achirim. How can the Mishnah say what it does, giving us a certain impression when we know that the husband has jurisdiction over other kinds of vows? The Gemara, well, as we said, will give answers to that. And there's another marking, this trapezoid or volcano shape. This is highlights chiluk bein inui nefesh l'dvorim shebeino l'veino, l'fi tshuva number one. After we give answer number one, then we'll see distinctions made between these two categories, and that's what this marking will highlight. So now, what does the Gemara answer? Amri, halin v'halin mefer. Halin means these and these, both inui nefesh and beino l'veino. By the way, we haven't given examples of beino l'veino other than what we saw in the Ran on Omid Aleph regarding the removal of hairs. But for the time being, just understand it's a separate category. It's a category where her vow would affect the husband. So the Gemara answers that, in fact, both categories a husband can annul. Mihu, inui nefesh, mefer li'olam. Inui nefesh, he annuls, and it is a permanent annulment. Aval ein bohem inui nefesh, the beino leveino type vows that are not inui nefesh, kidiisa tchusei havyo haforo, while she is under him, meaning while she's married to him, so the annulment is an annulment. Mechi megarish law, when he, if he does, or when he divorces her, chayil alo nidra v'dvorim shebeino leveino, she'ein bohen inui nefesh. Those kind of vows that are purely beino leveino, though he, as a while married to her, had annulled them, they resurface. The vow resurfaces with its vow potency upon her divorce. That is true with regard to the vows that are non inui nefesh. Avol yesh ben inui nefesh, lo chayil alo nidra. Those vows that she took that are categorized as inui nefesh, they, even though she's divorced, will not resurface. The Gemara asks, udvorim she'ein bohen inui nefesh, those kind of vows that are not inui nefesh, that he annulled, ki megarish lo chaylon, is that really true that when he divorces her they resurface? V'hotnan, but we have learned in a Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, in describing a man and the vow annulment of a husband, he says, Yofer, that there's an advice given without getting into detail, that it's advisable for the husband to annul vows that a woman might have made a vow that the husband shall not benefit from her production. That even though while she's married, she is bound to him to produce, to profit that she has goes to the husband. However, what happens if he divorces her? Can the husband then benefit from her profits? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says that a woman who may have vowed like that not to enable the husband to benefit from her work, the husband should yofer, while married to her, he should annul that vow. Shema yigarshena v'te asuro lo. For if he doesn't annul it, in the event that he divorces her, she will be then forbidden. He won't be able to take her back because all profits that she produces will be forbidden to him. Alma, what do we see from this? Ki megarish lo umefilo meikora. In a case where a man divorces his wife, but he had annulled those kind of non-inui nefesh vows, havyo hafora. The hafora that he did while married sticks, and the netter does not resurface upon her being divorced. So the distinction that we made before between inui nefesh as those that don't resurface after divorce and beino leveino do resurface after divorce, here we have an example of beino leveino, and upon his annulment, they do not resurface after divorce. So where's there a distinction? And If we don't have a distinction, then we're back to square one. Why does the Mishnah emphasize Inui Nefesh? What's unique about Inui Nefesh that the Mishnah felt that's the neder, the type of vow we are emphasizing in terms of annulment? Amri, the Gemara answers, Halin Vahalin, Havyo Hafara, both Inui Nefesh and Beino Leveino upon divorce will not resurface. In other words, if he annulled them while married, they will not be. They won't resurface. Elo nidre inui nefesh mefer bein latzmo ubein lacherim. The nidre inui nefesh annulment is an annulment not only vis-a-vis the husband himself, but vis-a-vis anyone else. If she is, let's say, divorced and marries someone else, so the annulment applies to the others as well. There's no more vow left whatsoever. Ein bohen inui nefesh, those kind of vows that are not inui nefesh, li'atzmo mefer, they are annulled vis-a-vis the husband himself. That if he were to divorce her, he would be able to remarry her without having to worry about that vow because he had annulled it. So li'atzmo mefer, however la'achirim einu mefer. With regard to others, if that woman marries someone else, so upon marrying someone else, first of all, she can't go back to the first husband. That's a Torah law. Not only that, but regarding that new husband, the vow that was not inui nefesh becomes binding. V'hachi katani, and thusly we are to understand the Mishnah. The opening Mishnah, which emphasized inui nefesh, reads as follows: Elu nedarim shu mefer bein latzmo ubein lachem. The following are the kinds of vows that, when the husband annuls them, the annulment applies whether to the husband himself or whether to others. Nedarim sheyesh bem inui nefesh. Those kind of vows, when annulled, remain annulled not only vis-a-vis the husband but vis-a-vis anyone else. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.